Just as we seem to turn a corner in the fight against COVID, there's growing concerns about new variants and how this virus is mutating to continue to infect people. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Scientists in the UK, they identified a far more contagious strain, B.1.1.7, that was late last year and that has since surfaced in multiple counties in Wisconsin. What do you want to know about the current strains and how they affect the spread of infections here? It's 800-642-1234. Ellen Bateman is director of the Communicable Disease Division of the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. Ellen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks very much. Glad to be back.
I feel like we've come full circle with you. You know, a year ago this month, you were here discussing the urgent need to keep up with testing and lab capacity for the volume of specimens you were getting and enough reagents. And I'm just wondering, can you give us a capsule of what the Communicable Disease Division has been through in the seasons of the first year of the pandemic?
Thanks very much. Yeah, it's great to be back. Last March, we were definitely under the gun with a lot of testing, PCR testing, to determine if people are positive and negative. And we were one of the first labs to be up and running in the state doing that testing. And then we helped a lot of other labs in the state bring on their testing and scale up as well. So we're in a much different, much better place now for PCR testing capacity around the state, that a lot of labs have more capacity than samples coming in right now, actually, which is a much, much better place to be than a year ago.
Is the State Lab of Hygiene still doing specimen testing, though, PCR testing?
Yes, we are. Yep, we have certain criteria for individuals who meet public health criteria for testing here. The vast majority of testing statewide is done at other labs, other large high-throughput labs, and many clinical labs. Over 100 different labs around the state are doing the majority of the testing, but we still definitely do certain public health criteria testing as well. Yep.
What have you learned in this year? What has been the big lesson learned?
Well, I think for us at the state lab, it is kind of a vindication of what we've done for a while, which is have connections with clinical labs around the state. And we coordinate something called the Wisconsin Clinical Lab Network. So already, 20 or 25 years ago, we started this, and we maintain these relationships with all of the 130 labs around the state for ongoing communication. We provide some continuing education for them, and we ask them for specimens for our normal public health surveillance things, for influenza and for other outbreaks of things. And that really served us well in this response, to be able to immediately communicate with all the labs and help get them up and running, because we knew that we couldn't do this all alone. This is the scale of this is way beyond anything else that we've really experienced. So that was a really good to have that experience and know that really this network is really powerful.
Yeah, you had a network in place to have that communication happen when you needed it. I want to get into these mutations that are showing up around the world. What can you tell us, not only about the UK variant, but others that we're seeing in Brazil and South Africa?
Yeah, sure. So I guess we've been following the virus for the past year now, and we and others worldwide have been doing sequencing, which is just a more in-depth look at the virus. And sequencing allows us to look at individual mutations of the virus, and all viruses mutate. But for most of 2020, the virus was honestly relatively boring and didn't mutate all that much or all that importantly that we could tell. But then, as you mentioned, the variant initially in the UK back in December, and then there have been two more now for a total of three variants of concern. One identified in South Africa originally and one identified in Brazil originally. All of them have since spread to many countries around the world, and the science and our knowledge of them is changing daily. So we're still learning a lot more about them, but as you mentioned, they are more contagious, more infectious, and there might be some instances where they could get around some immunity as well. But we're still learning a lot about that, and the reason why they're variants of concern is because we need to learn more about them and to track them.
There are multiple reports of this more contagious B117 strain in Dane County, Eau Claire, Waukesha, now Kenosha County. Is the strain more widespread than this? What are you finding?
Sure. Yeah. So we and everyone else in the U.S. and the world only sequence a subset to get a sense of which strains are really out there. And we're quite sure that both in Wisconsin and worldwide, there are many more identifications or more instances, more infections with these variants than are identified. But we do have decent capacity here in Wisconsin to be able to do the sequencing that's needed to track these variants, and we and others are continuing to scale up. Would it be helpful if I talk just for a minute or two about what the sequencing is?
Let me just pause there and reintroduce you. Alan Bateman is director of the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene Communicable Disease Division. We're discussing variants of the virus that are beginning to spread more widely and more rapidly throughout the country. And Alan's taking your questions about these variants at 800-642-1234. Let's just take a call right now. Lisa has a question in Madison. Lisa, hi, go ahead.
Hi, I've been paying close attention to the in Manaus in Brazil, where people thought they had essentially reached herd immunity with the initial pass through of the virus. And then with this new variant, it's just ripping through the city. And then my concern off that is if the wealthy countries are going to essentially hoard the vaccine or not ensure that poor countries can receive it, these variants are going to continue to produce and the pandemic is going to rage on. And what are we going to be doing to address that problem?
Lisa, thank you so much for those great questions. Alan.
Yeah. So there is a WHO real push to get vaccines to every country in the world. And there have been a lot of differences right now in terms of which countries are moving faster or moving slower for many different reasons on the vaccinations. And I think the point is a good one, that we do need vaccination worldwide to be able to continue to drive down the infections overall, because there could be additional variants that continue to pop up. I will say in Brazil, there does seem to be another peak or another round of infections in Manaus, and some of that does seem to be people who have been infected with a previous strain before. But the science is moving so quickly, and it does seem like the prior immunity from people being infected might not be quite as strong as people who are vaccinated, which is yet another reason to really push the vaccines. And I also just want to make sure this is relatively balanced, that yes, these are variants of concern. Yes, we need to track them, but I don't want to be total chicken little sky is falling, because we do know that the precautions that we do also work against these variants. The UK and other countries that have implemented more masking and distancing have been able to drive infections with these variants down as well. So even though they're a variant, it is still the coronavirus that's causing COVID-19, and a lot of the precautions still work against the variants.
And I just looked at the CDC map that shows its variant map that Wisconsin has no cases yet of the P1 variant that is in Brazil, that is wreaking havoc in Brazil, but that could change.
Yes, that could definitely change. I know that Minnesota has identified just a couple, and so that's why we continue to do general strain surveillance to be able to track which exact variants, which exact strains are common in Wisconsin.
We're talking with Alan Bateman about COVID variants and genomic testing. We'll get more into that. He's director of the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene Communicable Disease Division. Have you received your COVID vaccine yet? Are you concerned about virus mutations? What do you want to know about testing and the bench science in the fight against COVID? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Alan Bateman here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene trying to spot mutations of the coronavirus through sequencing the genomes of hundreds of virus specimens each week. Scientists, they're keeping a close watch on mutations that have made the virus more contagious. What do you want to know about this? 800-642-1234. Alan Bateman is director of the Communicable Disease Division at the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene. He's with us for 10 more minutes. Let's bring in another call. David is with us from Eastman this morning. Hi, David. What is your question?
Yeah, good morning. question. These variants have been around in the U.S. for a while. I'm not sure if it's a South African strain or the British strain that was first discovered in South Carolina several weeks ago. But with case rates dropping all across the country, if these are, you know, that significantly more contagious, why haven't we seen some spikes in cases? And when would you anticipate that we're going to see these spikes if, you know, these various strains are widespread across the country?
Yeah, David, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, David. That's a very good question. I will say I'm very happy that there haven't been an increase yet. It's really hard to know what's going to happen in the future, but that's why we're keeping a close eye on these, both cases overall and also the variants. We do know that the percentage of all the positives that are variants, that has increased, so the variants are becoming a bit more common. But as I mentioned before, even though this is definitely something to track, we don't want to blow this out of proportion, and we want to keep a close eye on it, but not worry too much. And really, the same mitigation measures, the same protection measures also work against these variants.
In terms of the amount of surveillance testing for these variants, the director of the CDC, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, said last night on All Things Considered that this effort has really ramped up nationwide recently.
When I came in, we were testing only about 250 samples a week for surveillance for these variants. Now we're up to somewhere between 9 to 15,000 surveillance tests a week, and we're working hard over the next few weeks ahead to ensure more and more surveillance testing.
Is there enough surveillance testing happening now in Wisconsin?
Yeah, good question. We do feel really proud about where we are currently with the surveillance testing in Wisconsin. There are four labs, so it's us and three other labs in the state that are doing testing, and we're among the leaders of the states. I think the CDC has a website now, and I think we've done the fifth most sequence testing of any state, and that includes all the states that have much higher populations than ours as well. So we're starting from a really good baseline, and we feel pretty good. There have been some goals thrown out there of to sequence 5% of all positives or 10% of all positives. Currently, where we are right now, our capacity is somewhere between 10 to 15% of all positives in Wisconsin right now. So we're starting from a pretty good place, and we're still planning to scale up capacity as well.
Let's bring in Sandy now in Sun Prairie. Sandy, hi. You want to talk about a genome sequencing?
Yeah, I guess kind of piggybacking off what your guest had just mentioned, it had been reported in the UK that they had been actually pretty aggressive about the genome sequencing early on, and the United States has been lagging behind. It's good to hear that Wisconsin is picking up the pace with that, but I guess I was wondering what the guest had to say about the fact or the outlook across the United States now that we've been kind of behind the times as far as tracing all of the variants.
Yeah, that's a great question. Nationwide, from a lot of 2020, there was a consortium that CDC put together called SPHERES. It was relatively it was anyone who wanted to join could join to get some standardization around this surveillance testing, but there weren't quite as many things happening in an organized fashion nationwide. And I think CDC's really the past couple of months taken that and really moved to change that. And they've implemented quite a few different approaches to be able to scale up this surveillance testing nationwide. So I know that nationwide that we've already made progress, and I expect that to continue to increase.
Talking with Alan Bateman, director of the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene Communicable Disease Division, we're discussing variants of the virus that are beginning to spread more widely and more rapidly throughout the country. Taking your questions about them, 800-642-1234. We have another Alan. Alan here in Madison with a question. Hi, Alan. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan. So I guess I wanted to ask a little bit about how the sequencing actually works and how you decide which 10 to 15% of positive cases warrant the further sequencing.
Great question. I'll start with the second one first. How we choose which proportion to sequence. So we're taking a couple different approaches. One is a general approach of geographic distribution and trying to get the best overall statewide picture that we can. So there are three other labs, and they're primarily focused in the counties and the regions right around where they are. And so we at the state lab then can focus on the rest of the state and really try to have as best geographic spread of the surveillance as possible. In terms of how we actually do the sequencing, I don't want to get too technical, but comparing it to PCR, so PCR tells you yes or no, is it there or not, are they positive or negative? And PCR looks at one or two specific parts of the virus genome, whereas the sequencing that we do, it's called whole genome sequencing, so we're actually reading out the entire genome, all 29,000 letters of the genome, and it allows you to do a lot of different things in-depth analysis-wise. One is to identify variants. Another one is to, you can look at individual viruses and say how closely related they are. So there are a lot of different applications in terms of outbreak response or transmission that you can look at. You can see if a healthcare worker who's, it was some colleagues here at UW-Madison looked at a healthcare worker who became positive, and this healthcare worker was treating some COVID patients, but also the healthcare worker's family was sick. And so they wanted to know where it was likely that this healthcare worker got it from. And it turns out that the virus that the healthcare worker had was much more closely related to their family's virus, which suggests that it came from the community, from their family, and didn't come in their workplace. And so that really was helpful to inform the PPE and the infection control in their hospital.
Well, along these lines of this kind of detective work, I'm wondering, you know, because we've heard these reports that in Brazil, this more contagious strain, you know, ripping across Brazil appears to be infecting some people who have already recovered from another version of the virus. Is it true that there's really no way to be sure what is happening to people who are reinfected unless you have both their old and their new samples and you're both genetically sequencing and comparing them?
That's the best way to tell and to actually prove if it's a reinfection. And that's the other part I was going to say in terms of how we choose which ones to sequence. We work with our colleagues at the Department of Health Services, and they put out a health alert network to all clinicians around the state for patients who meet certain criteria that might be high risk for a variant. So someone who's COVID positive who recently traveled internationally, or someone who is COVID positive who had has already had two doses of vaccine, or someone who's COVID positive who has had a second infection, so it appears to be a reinfection. And then we'll sequence those because those are kind of enriching for potential variants as well.
Let's bring in Jim now in Dubuque, Iowa. Jim, hi. Jim, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Hello? Now. Go ahead. Hi.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if your agency makes any recommendations as to the number of cycles of PCR tests are run. In Florida, they just passed a law, I believe, to require that be reported along with the results. And I think it's especially important since Dr. Fauci said that over 35 cycles, those tests are meaningless. I found out that our local lab here is running at 45 cycles. At 35 cycles, the tests are 97.3% false positives. And also, you said the test identifies whether you, yes or no, have the virus. Dr. Kerry Mullis, who invented that test, and in fact won a Nobel Prize for inventing it, said that it's not to be used for medical diagnosis. It does not detect whether you have a virus or not. It could be a genetic fragment that could be there from that virus or another related virus.
Okay. So in terms of the cycles for PCR, the tests that we use and most other labs use have FDA emergency use authorization, and there are many different factors that go into each test, the way it's designed, not just the cycles, and each one of those has been rigorously determined to have high sensitivity and high specificity. And in addition, every lab that implements a test does their own in-house comparison and validation to make sure that the test works. And anything that has the FDA authorization cannot be changed. Mm. So that is set nationally by the FDA. And I will say for PCR, it is a routine diagnosis worldwide. It's the standard, it's the gold standard for diagnostic tests worldwide.
As we start to wrap up here, what do you expect in the next coming months to look like for your lab's work and, you know, in terms of the testing, in terms of the genomic testing, what do the next few months look like?
Yeah, we plan to continue to scale up the ability to do the genomic surveillance testing, both by additional training of staff that we have here, as well as purchasing higher throughput instrumentation. This is actually a great opportunity for us to build up our ability to do more sequencing for anything. So sequencing is a great tool that we've used for many years, and we've had a certain amount of capacity for it, but to be able to really do it at scale for a lot of things, antibiotic, bacteria, tuberculosis, influenza, it'll be really nice to be able to scale up and have better surveillance for many public health, many pathogens with public health importance.
Alan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Alan Bateman is director of the Wisconsin State Laboratory of Hygiene Communicable Disease Division. Ahead this hour, we have Marquette University's provost and how it's weathering the financial fallout from the pandemic and planning to reopen campus for in-person instruction in the fall. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.